Good morning and welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous AA meeting on air. My name is Rachel and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Rachel.
We'll start our meeting with a serenity prayer.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
The preamble of Alcoholics Anonymous. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organisation or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. Welcome to our meeting this morning. We have members of our fellowship in, and they'll be sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey in recovery from alcoholism. And to start the sharing off, we have Ane Tiatarangi. Would you like to share?
Yes. Good morning. My name's Ane Tiatarangi and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Annie.
I've been in recovery now for 37 days and I've been using for many years, and I was actually living over in Australia and come home and retired, and it wasn't until I actually got up to Auckland that, Christchurch. I was in Christchurch. I moved back to Christchurch and stuff like that, and that's when my life just became unmanageable. And I was lucky that my family were down in Christchurch at the time. My sister and brother-in-law, who were in recovery, actually brought me up to Auckland where I started in recovery. But I still didn't believe I was an alcoholic until one night I was at a meeting and a girl shared. And there's something that she said that I could relate to. And what it was about really was still been able to drink alcohol even though you'd actually taken something else, and that something else is most people can't drink on it, let's just say. And it wasn't till that night that I realised that I was an alcoholic, and instead of feeling like horrified at it, I felt quite blown out, like something light, actually, like something had been lifted off my shoulders, and within this short time of my recovery, I've also found God. But it's not that I've found God, because God has always been with me. And it was like, because I was in denial over my life as an addict, I was also in denial of God as well. And today, 36 days on in recovery, it's not that I'm at peace. It's like for the first time in my life, I feel like I've been happy. And I'm talking 58 years. I'm 58, so, yeah, and at peace as well. And I will never, I don't want to go back and drink. But I do have my days. I must say that I find hard, it's just living life. Yeah, I still get down. I still get angry. I get angry as well and things like that, but not enough to make me... There's no desire to drink again, though. And I'm just so happy I found the program, because when I was in Christchurch, someone took me along to AA. I actually laughed at it. I just thought, it wasn't for me. At that time, I didn't even think about God. I didn't think about a higher power. I just didn't think it, I didn't think anything of it, actually. But not until I came to Auckland that in the rooms or in the meetings, that was, it was different up here for me anyway. And so I'd just like to say I'm a lot happier, and thank you very much. And that's it for me.
Thanks, Annie.
Thanks, Annie.
Thanks, Annie.
You're with Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. We have members of our fellowship in this morning, and they're sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. And the next person we have to share is Emma. Hi, Emma.
Hi, I'm Emma. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Emma.
Hi, Emma.
I
have been in recovery for just over 16 months now. And I guess, yeah, I drank for 20 years alcoholically, right from the very beginning. I have an alcoholic mother who wasn't there through the first sort of 11 years of my life. So I wasn't around a lot of drinking as a child. But I always felt really different. I always felt a bit removed from everybody else, I guess, growing up. And then when I was 11, I met my mum, and she gave me my first drink so that she could have a drinking buddy. And at the time I thought it was awesome. Like, I thought she was the best mum ever. And she started me on soft stuff so that I could handle it. And then it just, I took off really, really quickly. You know, I just loved it. From day one, I used to go to the pub and hang out with all the regulars, and, you know, I was only 11 or 12, and I used to sit there and watch them sitting at the bar all day and just think, man, what a, they're living the dream, you know. I couldn't wait to be that. looking back on it now, it's, you know, ridiculous, but I just loved it from the start. And then from there, it just progressed really quickly into other substances. But I lived on the streets for 4 years when I was, till I was about 16. And, you know, I loved it. I loved drinking. I drank all day, every day. It gave me what I'd never had before. It gave me the confidence to talk to people. And I felt like it really just made me, allowed me to be myself, my true self. And just had that confidence and stuff that I'd never had before. So then when I got a little bit, you know, further into my teens, and I'd given up everything else, and I carried on drinking, and I could justify that really easily by the fact that I had, you know, I wasn't using drugs or anything, so I deserved to drink. Because everybody drank. It was really normal. It was legal. And I didn't realize that I just didn't drink like other people. You know, I was always the last one. I was, you know, I'd just get into all sorts of states and situations and things, and people would mention it here and there, but I just kind of never... It never occurred to me that I had a problem, because I wasn't like my mother. You know, I'd always compare myself to her and think, oh, yeah, but I'm not like that, so I'm not an alcoholic. She's an alcoholic. I just enjoy drinking. You know, it's a social thing. pardon me. And then I was living in Australia then, and then I moved back to New Zealand when I was 22 because... of my drinking, because it was my job, it was my environment, it was the city I was living in that was too fast-paced, and I had to try and keep up with the drinking, and that's what I told myself. And if I just moved back to the bush, back to New Zealand, I'd be okay. And then obviously when I moved back, it, you know, it was okay for maybe days, but naturally I gravitate towards people that drink like me, so... It just, you know, it just took off where I stopped, really. It just, yeah, it just flowed from one country to another. And it got a lot worse. I guess I wasn't really happy, and I was just with people that were just drinking and stuff all the time. And I loved it. I still loved it, because I didn't know anything else. It was all I knew. You know, I didn't know what it was like, really, to have a sober life. It was just my reality. And then I met my husband, and I had children, and the only time that I hadn't drank was when I was pregnant. But I, you know, I remember I thought about it the whole time. I had that obsession. Even when I wasn't drinking, I wasn't able to drink, and I was so proud of myself, but I could not wait until I could take that first drink after having my kids. Yeah, and it just, you know, it never really slowed down. It just always ended up exactly where I'd left off. And then just, you know, coming into sobriety, I was my last year of drinking, I just went downwards really, really fast. I lost a good friend of mine, and that was it. You know, by the end of it, I was drinking, you know, I was having to drink in the morning by about, you know, I was getting up at 1 o'clock in the morning to drink, like clockwork. I'd wake up and I would always tell myself it was because I needed a cigarette. My body was waking up because it needed a cigarette. But now I look back and I realize it was because I needed that drink to get me back to sleep. And when I stopped drinking, I had, you know, the shakes, and I was vomiting, and, you know, I had really bad withdrawals, and I just didn't know what to do. I just conceded to the fact that that was it for me, and I was just going to drink forever. I was just going to be like my mum. I was going to end up lonely and a drunk, and that was it. And I just sort of given into that and just sort of almost accepted that that was just my life now. You know, there was nothing that I could do. And I, my marriage had ended at this point too, so I was without my children for a week at a time, which was great because it meant I could just do whatever I wanted without any consequences. And then a friend of mine who I used to drink with came to see me, and she mentioned AA, and she'd been in recovery for 4 years. And my initial thought was, oh, no, I don't want to go, you know, like that's just a cult, you know, all these weird old drunks sitting around in a dark room, you know, all miserable. But I had nothing. I had no other option. I had literally nothing else. I'd tried everything else, and nothing worked. So I thought I'd go and check it out. And my first meeting was, I don't remember what was said, but I remember relating to every single person that spoke. And I walked out of that meeting and I just thought, oh my God, if there's anything that can help me, this is it. You know, this is where I need to be. And I just kept coming back and just listening for that message. And I found it, you know, and I stopped drinking. I haven't needed to take a drink since I came into AA. That's not the case for everybody, but it is for me so far anyway. And I just threw myself into it. You know, the people, what I've found in AA is unlike anything I've ever experienced in my life. I belong, you know. I don't need to drink or act like I'm something that I'm not around these people, because they just get me and I get them. You know, we speak the same language. We're all from completely different paths, but we're united by this one common disease. And it's just amazing. You know, I've found some amazing friends in the fellowship. I've worked the steps. I've just finished the 12 steps. And I have a sponsor and a home group, and I do service when and where I can. And I stick really close to the fellowship. I definitely notice a change if I haven't been to a meeting for a while. You know, it keeps me grounded, and it reminds me why I'm doing this, and, you know, how far I've come. It was really hard for the first 6 months. I didn't sleep well. I was, you know, I was just an emotional mess. But, you know, just how far I've come is it's astounding. I've never experienced anything like it. And yeah, I'll keep coming back for sure. And yeah, I just love it. So thanks.
Thanks, Emma. You're with Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. We have members of our fellowship in this morning, and they're sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. And the last person we have to share this morning is Mike. Hi, Mike.
Hi, my name's Mike, and I am an alcoholic.
Hi, Mike.
And it's my belief that there are two types of alcoholic, because there is an experience that an alcoholic gets when they are not drinking called craving. And this craving has been described as being restless, irritable, and discontent. So the reason I believe I was born an alcoholic is that I had these feelings of restless, irritable, and discontent from day one. Looking back now, I see my early childhood and going into adolescence, I was experiencing craving, and I didn't know what I was craving, but I knew I was getting these feelings. And at 14, I discovered the solution to the inner emptiness I had and the inability I had to relate to other people. I discovered alcohol. And it was magic to me at that time, and it became the solution. And because I always thought of it as a solution, I couldn't see that there was any problem with it. And to be fair, for a while there wasn't. But then a few problems started to crop up. I have over the years probably driven thousands of miles in alcoholic blackout. I think God must have been sitting on my shoulder, because I didn't hurt or kill anyone, and I didn't suffer any injuries myself. And to me, that's a miracle in itself. I am the old guy. Old in what we call belly button years, to distinguish from the time we've been in Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm 73, and old in recovery years, because I've now been 26 years without a drink, and I'm a very grateful alcoholic. And the reason I'm grateful is if I had done this myself, there would be no need for me to have gratitude. But I believe that the God that I understand has been the instigator of me being sober and of me staying sober. And he works through people, and he works through institutions like Alcoholics Anonymous. And I am really, really grateful for that. I have not done this myself. This has been done for me as a result of the grace of the God that I understand. And grace is undeserved kindness. I hear many people say, I feel unworthy. Well, join the club, because we are all unworthy. We all fall far short of the undeserved kindness of God. I'm really, really glad that I found Alcoholics Anonymous, because I know how I drank, and I know that alcoholism is a disease that wants to take us out. It's a disease that wants us dead. I was so grateful when the World Health Organization determined that alcoholism was not a badness or a wickedness. It was a disease, it was an illness. Because that meant that I was a sick person striving to get well, not a bad person trying to be good. And that meant an awful lot to me and made me feel. The other thing I was grateful for was that there was a name for what I had. Alcoholism, a disease. And for a long time, I thought I was just crazy. I was just out of my mind. Alcoholics Anonymous, in a sense, has brought me back into the world of human beings. Because for a long time, I thought of myself as being subhuman because of the thoughts I had and the lack of emotional maturity and my inability to deal with life on life's terms. That's what the 12 steps have done for me. They've taught me how to live life like a normal human being. They've made it possible for me to live life on life's terms without the need for chemical crutches like alcohol or, as some other members have shared, other substances. Because one of the things I've noticed about real alcoholics is we don't just stick with alcohol. We try other stuff as well. If it's mind-altering or mood-changing, we'll give it a go. And that was true for me as well. But alcohol was my drug of choice because alcohol hit me strongest and it didn't dull my senses, it obliterated them. It didn't shade or mask reality, it removed reality like it had been removed surgically. That was the thing I wanted. I wanted no part of emotions and I wanted no part of reality. I wanted to be able to live in my fantasy world and alcohol allowed me to do that. I didn't realize how sick I was until I had been a couple of years in Alcoholics Anonymous. It slowly dawned on me what a very sick puppy I had been when I first came into AA. And it was only through, I think the description that describes best what happened to me in AA was that I was loved into wellness. Thanks.
Thank you, Michael. We have some time left in our program, so I'm going to ask Emma to read us an excerpt from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous.
Hi, I'm Emma. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Emma.
And this is from page 417 of the fourth edition of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Acceptance is the answer to all of my problems today. When I am disturbed, it is because I find some person, place, thing, or situation, some fact of my life, unacceptable to me. I can find no serenity until I accept that person, place, thing, or situation as being exactly the way it is supposed to be at this moment. Nothing, absolutely nothing, happens in God's world by mistake. Until I could accept my alcoholism, I could not stay sober. Unless I accept my life completely on life's terms, I cannot be happy. I need to concentrate not so much on what needs to be changed in my world as on what needs to be changed in me and in my attitudes. Shakespeare said, "All the world's a stage and all the men and women merely players." He forgot to mention that I was the chief critic. I was always able to see the flaw in every person, every situation, and I was always glad to point it out. Because I knew you wanted perfection, just as I did. AA and acceptance have taught me that there is a bit of good in the worst of us and a bit of bad in the best of us, that we are all children of God and we each have a right to be here. When I complain about me or about you, I am complaining about God's handiwork. I am saying that I know better than God.
Thanks, Emma. And Mike, would you read the ninth step promises for us?
Hi, my name is Mike. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Mike.
This is the promises relating to the ninth step of Alcoholics Anonymous. If we are painstaking about this phase of our development, we will be amazed before we are halfway through. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will know our experience can benefit others. That feeling of restlessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Are those extravagant promises?
We think not.
They are being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if we work for them.
Thank you, Mike. That brings us towards the end of our meeting. If you've been listening and identified with our speakers and you'd like to do something about your drinking, you can log on to aa.org.nz, and in the drop-down box under meetings lists, there's a list of all meetings in the Greater Auckland area and right throughout the country. You can also phone 0800 AA Works, and this will put you in contact with an AA member in your local area. We'll be back here next Sunday at 10:45 on 104.6 Planet FM with Alcoholics Anonymous AA meeting on air. And we'll close our meeting with the Serenity Prayer.
God grant us serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
I've got to let you know. So slide over here. I've got to let you know. I've got to let you know. You're one of my kind.